Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Biden continuing to roll back Trump's anti-worker policies. A labor lawyer headed to the National Labor Relations Board. And today on the show, the Ohio AFL-CIO, and we talk about promoting wellness at work. Welcome to the Tuesday, June 1st edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. One of our regulars, Tim Berga, who is the president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, will be joining us as our first guest. And a couple things he's going to get into. Number one, the PRO Act. As you know, for the last couple of months, organized labor has been very, very vocal and active on trying to get the PRO Act passed in Congress. It passed in the House several months ago, and it's in the Senate right now. And still, we have three Democrats who have yet to sign off on it. And you may recall last week me talking about Mark Warner in Virginia, where the Teamsters staged a number of rallies at his Capitol Hill offices as well as his home in Virginia. And then we have the two Democrats in Arizona. So Tim will take a look at that and also give us a rundown on what the PRO Act will mean to all workers, not just union workers, but all workers. You're talking about changing labor law in this country, something that has not been done since the days of Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Joe Biden, our president, was in Cleveland last week, and we'll talk about that. He was promoting his Jobs Act. And just a rundown for the state of Ohio. In Ohio, there are almost 1,400 bridges and almost 5,000 miles of highway in poor condition. In the last 10 years, commute times have increased by 5.7% in the state of Ohio. And on average, each driver pays $506 per year in costs due to driving on roads in need of repair. Well, the American Jobs Plan will devote more than $600 billion to transform our nation's infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, and make it more resilient. And that includes $115 billion repairing roads and bridges. That's just one thing. There's public transportation, drinking water. Over the next 20 years, Ohio's drinking water infrastructure will require over $13 billion in additional funding. American Jobs Plan includes $111 billion to ensure clean, safe drinking water is a right in all communities. Water. We have the Great Lakes on the north coast of Ohio. Let's make sure that we preserve that and make sure drinking water is safe, and let's not have a Flint, Michigan happen again. Oh, there's a lot more to it, and Tim's going to get into it as our first guest. Our second guest on the show today is Trent Williams. Trent started his career working in construction in architectural sheet metal roofing and siding before making a change to work in behavioral health. Trent and his family went through a traumatic time during his 10-year career in construction, and it became evident there was a need for mental health awareness and normalization to break down stigma and barriers to help the men and women in the trades. We've talked about this subject many, many times on the show before. In fact, we touched on it yesterday when we were talking with Will Attig of the Union Veterans Council and Mike Hazard from the UA talking about veterans in piping. And yesterday, as you know, was Memorial Day, and we obviously salute the men and women who sacrificed their lives for this country. And then you have a lot of people that came home that had mental issues and have committed suicide over the years. So that's what we're going to get in today. Workplace mental health is a team sport, he says, and requires intentional and often difficult conversations. Trent is the executive director of Team Corporation. Team Corporation. He's going to explain what that actually means. And he travels from group to group to deliver talks, lectures, trainings, and establishes and nurtures long-term relationships with the organizations, knowing that there's no quick fix and it requires a long-term commitment. So we'll get into all of that. Employee wellness at work. And there's a lot of assistance programs, employee assistance programs. I mean, just about every business has one today. Startwithteam.com is the website. Startwithteam.com. Trent Williams will be our second guest on the show today. President Biden intends to nominate Gwen Wilcox, a union side labor lawyer, to the National Labor Relations Board. A senior partner at Levy Ratner and associate general counsel for SEIU 1199 United Healthcare Workers West in New York, Wilcox made waves through a landmark unfair labor practice case filed against McDonald's on behalf of the Fight for 15 litigation, which tested the bounds of franchisers' legal liability for third-party employers, and it resulted in a $170,000 settlement for the organization. Now, if confirmed, Wilcox would be Biden's first appointee to the five-member NLRB, as well as the board's first African-American woman member. Her appointment would reduce the GOP's membership edge on the board from 3-1 to 3-2, setting the majority up to flip once Republican member William Emanuel's term expires in late August. So the clock is ticking on that one. Elsewhere in government, Biden appointees continue to roll back anti-worker policies from the prior administration, and you know there were many of them. Last week, the Department of Labor's Office of Labor Management Standards, OLMS, published a notice of proposed rulemaking to rescind a Trump-era rule that required unions to disclose detailed financial information on strike funds, apprenticeship programs, and other trusts as part of their compliance with the Labor Management Reporting and Disclosure Act. The rule, which OLMS ceased to enforce in March, formed part of a trio of onerous disclosure requirements proposed under the Trump administration, two of which were never finalized. Also, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced an online constituent update that it would reimpose speed limits on pork processing lines, which were abandoned under the Trump administration. Now, that decision comes in light of a federal district court ruling at the end of March, which invalidated the Trump administration's relaxation of speed limits as unlawfully implemented and gave the USDA 90 days to reformulate its policies. It was all about profits. I mean, that was in place as a safety measure for the workers. So what Trump was trying to do is say, you can go as fast as you want. So what if somebody loses an arm? I mean, that's essentially what would happen. In the meantime, U.S. Trade Rep Catherine Tai continues to beef up U.S. labor policy, outlining a new proposal before the World Trade Organization to monitor and combat forced labor at sea. In a statement, Tai proposes that the WTO members recognize the issue and be required to notify the organization of any suspected forced labor incidents at sea. And this happens quite a lot. The proposal would form part of a broader agreement being negotiated to address environmentally harmful fishing subsidies, a process set to conclude at the end of July, according to both the State Department and the Department of Commerce. Chinese firms have been repeatedly flagged for committing forced labor violations at sea. No surprise there. Organizers from the United Auto Workers Union have submitted 10,441 union cards to the California Public Employee Relations Board to request a union election for around 17,000 higher education workers across 10 University of California schools. UAW already represents tens of thousands of graduate student workers and researchers across the UC system, with over 60% of the bargaining unit having already signed on. Observers suggest that the union is well poised to expand its coverage to nearly, you ready for this? 50,000 UC employees overall. Meanwhile, in New York, the Technical Office and Professional Union 2110, which is an affiliate of the UAW, announced plans to unionize around 130 full and part-time employees at the Brooklyn Museum, proposing a unit that would include curators, editors, fundraisers, visitor service workers, educators, and even gift shop employees. This organizing takes place in a moment of historic internal turmoil for the UAW as the union faces its first ever direct leadership elections in the next 6 months. So hats off to the UAW for rising above the crowd and making this happen. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're linking up with Tim Berge, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to the show. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast. And that's also our Twitter handle, at AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to Tim Berge, once again, I get an email from Virginia Fox, and I quote this lady, just so you know who's out there that's fighting unions. And she is the Republican leader of the Education and Labor Committee. And she issued the following statement after President Biden nominated Gwen Wilcox, I just mentioned this in the opening of the show, to fill an open seat on the National Labor Relations Board. And this is what Virginia said. President Biden's nomination of Gwen Wilcox to the NLRB deals a blow to the American workforce. Ms. Wilcox's track record representing unions demonstrates consistent support for radical one-size-fits-all regulatory policies that will harm small businesses across the country and greatly diminish the rights of workers and job creators. This nomination is another move from the Biden administration to limit the flexibility and freedom of American workers, harming our economic recovery and crushing the American dream. Oh, my God. It's okay, though, if you put a union buster on the NLRB. That's okay. And that's exactly what happened in the previous administration. But when you have somebody that's union friendly, then you're crushing democracy and you're hurting workers. All right, let's go to our live line and join Tim Berga, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO. OhioAFLCIO.org is their website. Hey, Tim. Are you surprised by that comment at all?
No. You have a corporate lackey telling us what the American dream should be. And the American dream should not be somebody having a wage enough to raise their family and enjoy their lives. So, no, I'm not surprised by it.
It's just another case. Boy, she keeps bombarding me with emails. I guess they know I host a pro-union labor show. So anyway, I just want to make sure everybody knows who's out there and what they're saying about unions. All right, you're telling me that you got a big meeting this week, and it's the Great Lakes District Council. Maybe you can explain what this is all about. This is something that happens annually. What's the story here, Tim?
Yes, it is. President Trump holds a conference each year with the different regions of the AFL-CIO. So this Thursday, the Great Lakes District will hold its conference. We're going to have to do it virtually again this year, as we're looking forward to get back to normal here for, you know, the second half of this year moving forward. But so Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan make up the Great Lakes District of the AFL-CIO. And we've got an awful lot to talk about. We've got some momentum regarding workplace issues, regarding workers' rights, regarding unionism. So President Trump will lead this effort with the Great Lakes states this Thursday. You can go to the AFL-CIO website if you're a union member or activist, would like to participate in it. It's not too late to register. So a really good agenda talking about things like the American Jobs Plan, the PRO Act, how to hone up on your communication skills as a union communicator, a full day of agenda items that's going to help union leaders and activists here in Ohio.
Again, that's going to be Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, all the states bordering the Great Lakes. So, all right, that'll be interesting. You mentioned the American Jobs Act, and Biden was in Cleveland last week talking about that and more. Let's pick up on that. How do you feel about this moving forward? What's the game plan here, Tim?
Well, there was a soft deadline to, you know, if there was going to be a bipartisan deal, the Republicans needed to step up, work with the president by Memorial Day. Well, you know, Memorial Day came and went, and the Republicans are still not interested in, you know, rebuilding our roads, our bridges, our water lines, and getting us back to work and rebuilding America. So it's going to get tense now, and the Democrats are going to have to determine if they're going to try to figure out a way to move this on their own if the Republicans won't step up in an honest way, as President Biden has extended the opportunity to negotiate with the Republicans, and they just aren't bringing forward a legitimate plan. So it's going to get real tense these next 2 weeks, I think.
And Biden has been reaching out as much as possible. And I know, well, that was part of his trip to Northeast Ohio last week. And he's going around the country and he's meeting with Republicans as well, governors of respected states, to try to move this forward. And I know there's been some compromise on behalf of the GOP. They upped it up a little bit to close to $1 trillion. And Biden lowered his amount to 1.7. So they're still far apart, but nonetheless, do you see if they can't get Republicans on board of them doing this anyway, moving like they did with the American Rescue Plan?
Well, you have an opportunity to end the filibuster several different ways. And there's a couple of Democrats that really don't want to do that, but you're just holding back needed policy that the American people are asking for. So that's one path. Budget reconciliation is another opportunity. You're somewhat limited there when you do that, as they did the American Rescue Plan. That's why the minimum wage increase got scuttled, because it did not pass muster with the rules of using budget reconciliation to move legislation with just 51 votes. But the American Jobs Plan, and we've talked about this, Flash, good construction jobs, good transportation jobs, caregiving jobs, manufacturing jobs. There's so much in this that will help us move our country forward and give people opportunity to get to work and earn their way. And it's definitely needed. I mean, we've been talking about, how long have we been talking about construction and infrastructure work in this country? And just the Republicans keep kicking the can down the road. Well, I think something's going to happen now where the Democrats are going to figure out a way to realize this and get us moving in the right direction.
Is it all about the tax issue? Because Biden wants to raise taxes on those making $400,000 a year and more. And the Republicans say, no, can't do that. You can't raise taxes. In fact, they probably want to cut them some more. Is that the biggest roadblock you see ahead here, Tim?
Well, we remember when the Republicans passed that unnecessary tax break that Trump pushed forward, where 90% of it went to the most wealthy Americans and large corporations, not needed. And when you give tax breaks to the super wealthy and corporations, it does very little to spur the economy, create jobs, raise wages. President Biden is right. We want to get the country moving, put money in the pockets of the hands that are people who are going to spend it by, you know, creating these construction and transportation jobs. And, you know, it's overdue. It's going to empower workers. It's going to create good jobs. And the Democrats are going to get serious here this month about figuring out a way to pass it. It's too important for the good of the country not to.
And Tim, Biden has been pretty vocal about creating union jobs with this American Jobs Plan. He's said it many, many times, and he's said the unions built the middle class. So let's pick up on this. You think that might be a sticking point with a lot of members on the conservative side?
Well, it shouldn't be, but I know for some that it will be. And every level of the Biden administration, you have organized labor's touch. Folks working there that come from organized labor, look at the Department of Labor, where you've got Mayor Marty Walsh, who's a LIUNA member, who's, going to start being the watchdog and turning the Department of Labor into its original intent, which is to stand up for workers. So every level of the Biden administration, it's pro-union, and they're talking about it, because they know that to rebuild the middle class, you have to rebuild organized labor. And to do that, you have to have a fair opportunity for workers to come together to organize and vote in a union and get that first contract. So, he knows that you win with unions, and that's why we're fighting for his agenda.
And Tim, with that being said, this is a good time to pass the PRO Act. The PRO Act, Protect the Right to Organize, would revolutionize labor law in America. Build Back Better with Unions, pass the PRO Act. That's the mantra of the AFL-CIO. Still three senators. How do you feel? How do you think that eventually they're gonna say, okay, let's move on this? Because Chuck Schumer, who is the Senate Majority Leader, said if you get up to 50, then he'll work his magic on it. What are you hearing?
Well, I do think that we'll get the 51 votes that's necessary. And just like some of the other legislation, even more than that, and bipartisan, whether we can get to 60 to stop the Republicans from filibustering, it's another question. And, you know, again, the PRO Act, and we've talked about this on your show often, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, would make dramatically enhance power of workers to organize and collectively bargain for better wages, benefits, and working conditions. Now, who can be against that? So if we're going to have an honest debate about how to balance the field when it comes to workers understanding their rights to be able to come together to have a union and to get that first contract, to educate them, and then to stop this corporate interference that illegally scuttles these union drives. And we, time after time again, these unions were win these unfair labor practice charges on an organizing drive, but the election's come and gone. And then you got to start all over again. And it's just the business model that so many of these corporations use to scuttle these union elections. So passing the Right to Organize Act simply levels the playing field. If workers want to have a union, let them have a fair opportunity to do that so we can get this country moving again.
Well said, my man. I want to give a toll-free number here, and I've been hitting this pretty hard on the show. It's 866-832-1560. Call your U.S. senators and tell them to pass the PRO Act. 866-832-1560. That's all put together by the National AFL-CIO. You can find more at aflcio.org. You're talking about legislation that will enable more workers to organize, bargain for their rights, strengthens penalties against employers who violate the law, ensures first contract agreements when workers choose to organize. I mean, there's so many components to us. It's important that this gets done. 866-832-1560. Very good. Mr. Berga, I think we'll wrap it up on that note. You take care. Enjoy your district meetings. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next month about that and more. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
OhioAFLCIO.org for more information. All right, we're going to take a break. Our next guest is Trent Williams of the Team Corporation, talking about wellness at work and what assistance is available for those who have some troubles at work. That's coming up next. Don't go away.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes Launa to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And welcome back to the show. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the North Coast Labor Federation, connected, of course, to the AFL-CIO. Let's go to line number two. Welcome a newcomer to the show, and I love this. This show is expanding each and every day. You just heard how many podcast platforms we're available on. Our next gentleman to join us is Trent Williams. He's out of St. Paul, Minnesota, and he's going to talk about wellness at work. Now, Trent, tell me how you found out about the show. You heard one of our shows, and you said, I got to be on America's Workforce. Is that what happened here?
That's absolutely what happened. Thanks for this opportunity, Flash, to chat with you. But yeah, I was listening to your episode on the 28th of April, where it was Workers' Memorial Day, and you were talking about the topic of suicide in construction. And you discussed employee assistance programs as one of those resources. And I'm the executive director for Team Corporation. We are an employee assistance program and patient advocacy program for many unions actually across the country, and quite a few unions within the construction industry. So this is a very near and dear topic to my heart, and essentially what I've based the mission of my career on.
Well, let's talk about your career, because you started in construction, and I'm reading, architectural sheet metal roofing and siding, and how long did you do that, and tell me about the switch into behavioral health.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's I get those questions often, because it's not your typical switch in careers. My family history actually goes back. We got union history that goes back generations. In fact, my great grandfather on my father's side was the executive secretary treasurer for the Teamsters Local 212, and before that, he was a VP for the local 574. So if you know those, that was back in the 1930s and 40s. So he was a big part of the Minneapolis strikes for the Teamsters. My great grandfather on the other side, he was a bricklayer. I myself have been actually an iron worker. When I worked at a hospital in a behavioral health setting, I was actually a Teamster myself. But we got quite a bit of union history. And so with that, I actually grew up in a household. My father owned a subcontracting firm, worked pretty closely with the Carpenters Union based out of Minneapolis. And I got my start growing up there. In fact, when I was 8 years old, I remember visiting job sites with my dad while he was talking to his foreman. And we went up in a 60-foot boom lift. He took me for a ride. They stopped about halfway, 30 feet up on a canopy that they wanted to take a look at. My dad left me in the cart thinking, this 8-year-old, there's no way that he's going to figure out how to maneuver this thing. And there's so many safety features that he'll be fine. And he was talking to his foreman, and the foreman's eyes got really big. They turned around, and I'm up all the way, 60 feet in the air. I had figured out how to run the equipment. And my dad still talks about that to this day, as essentially being my job interview at 8 years old. But, Right out of high school, I went to work for my dad, running crews, working long hours, working on the road quite a bit. And during that time, my wife and I were, I met my wife later on, not right out of high school. I worked in the construction industry in a number of different roles for better part of a decade. But it was towards the end of that time working construction, combination of my own injury that I had sustained, not on the job, but one that affected my job for sure. We went through our own crisis with my family. We had the birth of my youngest daughter. She was born premature, and we were pretty frightened about what was going to happen with that. But when she was born, when we were in the hospital, my mom was watching my oldest daughter, and we got a call that she wasn't feeling well, and actually ended up going into urgent care. Her breathing saturation had dropped down to 72%, and she had very rapidly developed a case of pneumonia and had to be rushed to the hospital. So, long story short, my wife and I were in the same hospital with both of our kids in separate wings. My youngest daughter was in the NICU, or the intensive care unit for newborns, for infants. And then my other daughter was in the emergency department. And my wife and I basically leapfrogged back and forth from different wings of the hospital to watch over our kids. At that time, I was the only income of the family. And so when and I should say both my daughters are alive and well and very healthy to this day. But during that time, I was the only income. So I had to go back to work once my oldest daughter was released from the hospital. I always ask when I present and when I go out and talk to groups, I always ask this hypothetical, how hard do you think it was for me to stay focused, stay safe? And thoughts of, can I stay sober, if I'm being perfectly honest, during this time going back to work? And I had somebody who had known me well enough to know that something was different with me. Something was off. And I grew up in a house that we didn't, you know, we didn't talk about feelings. We didn't talk about our emotions. Mental health was not something that was a topic discussed. And you know, we had that whole pick yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. You know, you're on your own. You've got to work hard, pull yourself out of your mess. And essentially that's just the environment. No fault to my parents. That's just a generational thing. That's how they grew up. But I had somebody during this time, during this crisis time, who knew me well enough to know something was off and pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I got here's a phone number to call," and they helped me out and they can help you out. And it was an organization much like Team, you know, an employee assistance program. My first call maybe lasted 10 minutes and it was incredibly awkward because I had never done anything like that before. But at the end of the call, they asked me, "Are you feeling any better right now compared to when we started our call?" And the answer was yes. So I set up another call. I had my wife, Sarah, actually reached out and talked to a counselor, and this kind of snowballed into our whole family getting help talking to a counselor. And really opened my eyes to the need in the industry I was working in at the time to, you know, break down the stigma, which are essentially the lies that we tell ourselves or have been taught about emotional health and mental health and those conversations. I saw that need and I wanted to make a change. I wanted to find the tools to help myself and my family and then to help those around me. I didn't think at the time it was going to lead to where I am today. But after roughly, you know, 8 years in behavioral health, I ended up at this opportunity, which takes that construction background and the behavioral health focus and just really molds them together in a really cool way, and I'm able to go out and connect with these guys and gals on the job site in a way that you know, I'm not an outside person. I'm one of you, and I know where you came from. I don't know your story specifically because that's your story, but I do have a foundation to comprehend where you're coming from, and use that opportunity to connect on an intimate level with people to get them some help.
Boy, that's a heck of a story there, Trent, and thank you for sharing that with our listeners. Startwithteam.com is a website, startwithteam.com. So you travel around the country, and I take it these groups, they seek you out. They realize that, well, we have a problem here. We've got a couple of workers, and we know that they're struggling. Is that how this pretty much works, Trent?
Absolutely, yeah. So startwithteam.com is our website. We're excited. We actually just launched our own wellness podcast, Our Wellness at Work. It's featured on our homepage. But yeah, we work directly with either the union contractors. We provide those services for their organizations, but we also work with the health and welfare fund of the various unions. In fact, that's our, kind of the more common approach. And, you know, we don't go knocking on doors or cold calling, trying to build these relationships and establish new accounts. Essentially our reputation, is what draws those calls to come to us. And it's essentially how we respond to crisis, either with suicide, which is far too prevalent. Your statistics are spot on. It's 3.5 to 4 times higher than the national average. And I'm hoping we can talk about that in a moment.
Sure.
But yeah, we work directly with the funds and, provide, so anybody, you know, let's use the carpenters, for example. If anyone who is a Twin Cities carpenter, you know, Greater Wisconsin carpenter, basically anyone, you know, North Central Council of North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters is the example I'll use. Anybody who's part of that organization has our benefit, along with operating engineers, Local 49, and, you know, the list goes on and on. And anybody who doesn't have our benefit directly, I still encourage you to call, because we never turn anyone away. We know that compassion, compassion and relationships are really on a ground level what starts to counteract these mental health crises that we're facing in the construction industry, but in the workforce in general. And so anyone who calls and reaches out to us, we never turn anyone away. We will always provide them with those resources. Just the amount of services we provide directly is based on whether that is a service provided by their organization.
All good stuff. Trent, I have to take a quick break. We're speaking with Trent Williams. Trent is the executive director of the Team Corporation. We're talking about wellness at work, and this is a national organization. And if you know of some group, some union group in America that needs his services, well, we'll give you all the information on that coming up. We'll be back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to the show. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Trent Williams. Trent is the executive director of the Team Corporation. Website is startwithteam.com. Now, the Team Corporation has been around since the 1980s, and Trent became executive director 3 years ago in 2018. And they've been very, very busy, especially in the last year. We've had a pandemic, and we've heard all kinds of horror stories about people isolated. They didn't have that connection because they were working from home. We saw alcohol use explode, drug use go up, suicides going up as a result. So, Trent, talk to me about the last year here, and I would have mentioned you you probably didn't have much sleep here in the last year. What's the story?
You know, I was fortunate enough personally to be home with my my family and have a really solid home base. I know that's not the case for everybody, and what we've seen with the pandemic is it put a microscope or put a magnifying glass on your choices that you've already made in your life and the situation that you're in. And so let me give it an example. You know, you're forced to come face to face with your spouse, with your marriage, when you are stuck at home, unable to have that separation. And so what we saw, you know, some individuals or couples that had underlying relational issues that were being maybe avoided, or everyone was so busy that they couldn't face it. Now they're stuck in a house together, not able to ignore it and having to face it. And same thing with substance abuse. You know, that substance abuse may have been there simmering underneath the surface. But with the pandemic, it really exacerbated an existing problem. I don't want to discount that the fact that it definitely created problems that for people that didn't already exist. But essentially, a lot of these things that we're seeing were already present to some degree and just were really ramped up because of the pandemic. So kind of segueing into the construction industry, what we've really seen is that the stigma is kind of this ever-present barrier that, it's not even just something that shows up as an adult. In fact, most of these patterns, most of the stigma starts at as a child. I mentioned briefly growing up in a construction household. We worked very hard. We took pride in that. My dad worked incredibly hard to provide a wonderful upbringing as far as we didn't want for anything growing up. But talking about mental health, talking about emotions was not the normal practice. And therefore, when that kind of topic would come up, it was uncomfortable for our family. And so, we didn't talk about emotions. We didn't talk about your feelings. You definitely didn't ask for help. Asking for help was seen as a sign of a weakness, not as a sign of strength. And that's that stigma. I really try and get out and get in front of the members that we serve and really want to look them in the eyes and provide that opportunity for a relationship. We know that this takes diligence on the caregiver side, and that comes down to the business reps of the organizations and the contractors as well. So we're really trying to make mental health as consistent of a conversation and as normal of a conversation as any other safety issue in construction. And so really trying to not only make people aware of the benefit for physical health. Morning stretches are something that is a great thing that I've seen over the years really become a staple for how everyone starts their day before they get into the heavy equipment, before the job kicks off every single morning, standing in a circle, doing their stretches, getting ready physically. What I encourage contractors to do, and we provide this coaching and consultation too, so people aren't left to create these kind of programs on their own. We help people build them because we know that this isn't, they didn't train to be counselors. That's our role. And so we want to consult the supervisors because they're the ones on the ground seeing these things day to day. So we want to, morning stretches, there's a simple way to add mental health into that conversation. You have your 10 minutes of morning stretches. Let's do our highs and lows for the week or highs and lows for the day before. What was your emotional high point yesterday? Where did you feel success? Where did you really feel that sense of accomplishment or feeling good? Where was your win? And then where was your low point? Where are you struggling? What's on your mind? What might be distracting you from the job at hand? Because we know that safety is such a key component to construction. You wouldn't go on to an active job site with and leave your hard hat back in the trailer. We really want to help people to conceptualize that you have a emotional hard hat as well. You got to protect your mental health. You got to address that, and it's no different than any other piece of safety equipment. You got to maintain that equipment. You got to set it up so that you are providing that safe environment from day one, not waiting until crisis happens. And again, I'll go back to that safety example. We respond to critical incidents on the job site. In fact, all of our staff that respond to those incidents are OSHA trained. We have the PPE we need to actively walk the site because we know it's hard for people to step away. There's that sense of if I step away to get help, one, will I be ridiculed? Will I look weak? You know, all these different lies that we're told. But at the other time, there's this beautiful brother and sisterhood creates in that person the sense of, if I step away to care for myself, my team is going to have to pick up my slack, and I'm not going to be carrying my weight. And that's why we go to them. You know, most organizations that are similar to team, they are reactive by nature, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is a crucial component, but it's only one side of the coin. Proactive relationships, establishing those relationships in a way where you are starting that conversation before crisis happens, creating a preparedness plan for how to address mental health crises, the same way you would create a plan for an accident to prevent or to respond to an accident on the job site. And so we are able to walk the site, and it's created some beautiful opportunities. Obviously, we wait for the invitation from the contractor to do so, but we've had experiences where we've walked the site and gone up to somebody to check in see how they were doing after a tragedy that occurred, and them to light up a cigarette and shed a tear with one of our counselors. I've been personally able to have many of those conversations, and it's quite powerful. And it's all about that connection. So again, that stigma, it has to be a normal part of the conversation. And when you look at these patterns, and I'll briefly just mention this, when you look at these patterns, it starts as a child. You know, how we learn about emotions, how to process, how to identify and how to respond to our own emotions, that's reflected from our caregivers growing up. So typically that's your mom and your dad. It could be your grandparents, whoever that was in your life. And so the example I always use is imagine a young kid, 3 years old, they move into a new house. He's playing in his backyard. He sees a dog at the neighbor's fence, and he runs up to the fence because he's excited to see a dog. And all of a sudden, that dog is snarling and growling and barking. That little boy runs inside and is scared and crying. You know, in a healthy response, that caregiver would grab that little boy, pick him up in his arms, and say, "Tell me what scared you. Tell me why you're sad. Tell me why you're crying," and comfort that child. And so that's that compassion, that empathy. And that reflection, you know, that child at 3 years old can't conceptualize this, but starting to feel like, oh, I feel scared right now. I feel sad right now. That's what's being reflected. Now, in an unhealthy response, that child tears, same thing, scared, running inside. And this is, sadly, a lot of the homes that our members grew up in, you know, instead of being met with that compassion, instead being met with rejection or anger, you know, why are you crying? Stop crying. I'll give you something to cry about. So in that moment, that child not only doesn't know what it is that they're feeling, but they know that, okay, what I'm feeling is wrong, and what I'm feeling I need to keep to myself. And so over time, that pattern continues to be reinforced. And eventually that child stops going to that source for comfort, because it's not a source of comfort, it's a source of pain. But those patterns then show up 20 years later when they are dealing with conflict, when mental health crises happen in their own life, when they're dealing with sadness, loneliness, depression. They don't feel as though they can reach out to ask for help, because patterns of their life have shown that just leads to more hurt. And doesn't actually do anything to help.
Trent, I could really tell you know what you're talking about. You've been doing it, and you're obviously very, very passionate about what you're doing. I want to drive people to your website and also the toll-free number, and this is available 24/7. It's 800-634-7710. 800-634-7710. Startwithteam.com. They're also on Facebook as well as Twitter. Trent, you take care. I promise we'll do another show with you, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for the time, Flash.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, it's the United Association and the ULA. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.